Some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a huge inheritance. But a phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard for a new one on us. Just trade in any phone from our top brands with select unlimited plans. $829.99 purchase with new smartphone line on select unlimited plans. Minimum $90 per month with auto pay plus taxes and fees for 36 months required. Plus $830 trade-in slash promo credit applied over 36 months. Trade-in terms apply. Payoff phone requires smartphone purchase and port-in with new smartphone line on select plan. Must provide most recent bill showing payoff amount of eligible phone. Additional terms apply.
Time for the 49ers Rush Podcast. And here's your host, John Chapman.
What is going on, faithful? It is Tuesday, and not only is it a Tuesday, it's a special Tuesday because the gentleman I am here with, the Wade Breezy, the John and Wayne Show, we back at it, ladies and gents. Wade, how we doing, man?
Doing good, man. Much needed break for our mentals, and it's good to be back live with my brother from another mother. So great show, great stuff. I'm ready to get into it, baby. You know, dive right deep into it, man.
Oh, we got a lot of stuff on here. We're going to be talking DC special teams. We're going to be talking some draft guys that elevated their kind of standing in the playoffs and national championship. We're going to be talking some Michigan guys because there's some perfect Michigan players going right where the Niners are drafting in the first round. We're going to get Wayne's take. He's a Michigan guy on whether they're worth it or they're not, or we should look elsewhere. And we're going to be talking about a lot of different things, especially comp picks, which just came out as well. So some positive news for the 49ers. Lots and lots of good. Wade, can you believe this? I went back and I looked up how many John and Wade shows we have had just on my channel. I didn't count your channel.
Okay.
I counted it. This is 198.
Dang.
That's a lot of weeks. That's a lot of weeks.
We almost 200 in. I like it.
We get there, man. We are just climbing. So anyway, Wade, it's great to be with you. And I do have to say, like, congrats to Ohio State, which is hard for me to say. They beat my Longhorns. You guys beat them. But I know you hate Ohio State as well. But I want to say shout out to Peachy. I know
Peachy,
she's diehard.
Mike.
There's a lot of Ohio
John
State fans
V,
out there.
Kali.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, you know, those are the ones that we know. If I missed anybody, my bad. But shout out to you guys. 49er faithful Ohio Stadians, you know. Congrats, though. Like John said, like, you know, it's bittersweet to talk about it, but we'll.
Yeah, there's no doubt that they were the best team.
There was no way Notre Dame thought they were beating Ohio State. Let me just say this. And then somebody tweeted me because I was talking about how I think our defensive coordinator obviously is going to be Brandon Staley, right? And so they were like, well, why not get the defensive coordinator from Notre Dame? I'm like, hell no. Are you watching this game? Like, they couldn't stop a nosebleed with tissue, cotton. They couldn't stop it. They couldn't stop anything that Ohio State was doing. Granted, their offense was high-powered, and they were moving the ball, but they made the Ohio State quarterback, Will Howard, look like he was Brett Favre or somebody super famous already about to be the man. And I know Ohio State fans that have trashed him all season long, along with their coaches. I ain't going to mention nobody's names. But I ain't seen not one trash talk come out of any one of them people's mouths that I know. Tell you that.
Yeah. And I will say this. I forget. I saw it on Twitter, and I scrolled past it, and I tried looking to find it. I couldn't find it. 5 consecutive years, the national championship has gone to the team with the most NFL draft picks that year. Shocker, right?
Big Ten. Is that crazy?
5 consecutive years. The team that had the most NFL draft picks that year. Now, this is a little bit of a conjecture, but Ohio State looks like they're going to have 17, 18. I think Texas is probably going to be 2 with 15.
I'm trying to figure out, like, did they declare the draft? I'm still waiting for, like Judkins. Is he going?
Coming out soon. So,
right, so we still have to wait because they're juniors.
In the past, like, they would decide now, but now there's a transfer portal.
Correct.
So, like, if I'm an agent, yeah, I'm saying, whoa, let's just wait. Let's
Pissing
see
me
if
off.
Florida Gators come out with a, you know, giving you $6 million a year. Like,
they messing up my draft, my mock drafts.
But we will find out soon. I think it's about a week's time before they have to declare.
They got to declare by January 24th.
So they got three more days.
Everybody else had to declare last week, but the ones in this game had to have to declare by the 24th.
Yeah, look at this. Bobo, he's always something. Just kidding. Don't bring Chip Kelly back. I hate Chip Kelly.
You know what's funny, though? Everybody's kind of running his system in the NFL now. It's possible that it may work. You get the right pieces. I don't want Chip Kelly, but I'm saying it's possible that it might work.
That dude was a tool. He is a tool. You remember, like, he wouldn't let any reporters ever. He canceled every press conference. He literally, like, I can't stand Chip Kelly. For me, my least favorite coaches of all time for the 49ers. Dennis Erickson's number one.
That's number one.
Chip Kelly is number two for me.
What's the other dude? Mike Nolan would probably be up there.
Mike Nolan.
But I did like the fact that he came dressed up in the sports jacket with dressed the patch on it. That that was breezy. That I like that, but he sucked.
Yeah, he was bad. He's still bad as a DC. He was coaching. I think he's the linebackers coach for Dallas recently.
There you go.
Anyway, I'm good. Dennis Erickson is the worst coach. I'll fight this one. I got an argument with a Seahawks fan recently, and I was like, dude, no, Dennis Erickson is the worst. I know he's had good college experiences elsewhere, but we went Walsh, Seaford, Mariucci, and then Erickson took us to two decades of just bottom dwelling.
Oh, my gosh. It was terrible. Dennis Erickson was terrible.
My least favorite coach of all time. I will argue tooth and nail on that one. Now, we're going to talk a little bit more. Well, let's stick with it. We're talking Ohio State. I think there's two players that I really think ascended their draft stock value. JT, Tui Malou. Low wow. I think I said that correctly.
The defensive end.
He went lights out. Dane Brugler put this out in four playoff games. It's just playoff games. 20 pressures, 10 tackle for loss, 6.5 sacks, 1 forced fumble, and was great against the run, playing against top tier level. Like, he was kind of seen as a mid second round pick, and a lot of people had Jack Sawyer ahead of him. I think that. Man, I got to do some more tape work, but I'm not going to be shocked when JT goes ahead of Jack Sawyer, and I could definitely see him creep into the back end of the first round. Is that insane to say? Is that too much? Am I too crazy?
So I've been doing my mock drafts, right? Because I'm doing the whole league now. So I've been doing the first round mock drafts for the teams. It's not crazy. I think you still have to wait, though, to see how these guys test. I know how they played on film. Cool, you got the film study, blah, 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 blah. But I think you still want to see them test. How fast do they run? How well do they run? How good is their 10-yard split? All those different types of things, because certain players will fit certain teams. Now, depending on the team, you might be right. I know Kansas City need those types of guys, right? Like, they need linebackers. They need defensive ends. They need – so he might be a guy that I feel like a team might, you know, come up and reach and get him in the first round. So – it's a possibility. My favorite player that I liked last night from Ohio State was the linebacker number 0, Cody Simon. And I'm thinking of linebacking for many reasons. 5-year guy. And I'm thinking of linebackers because I don't think that the 49ers are going to want to pay Dre Greenlaw whatever the premium money is going to be for linebackers. He's still young. The only thing he doesn't have going for him, obviously, is the injury history. But there's going to be teams out there like Jacksonville with head coach soon to be named. You know who? Probably going to want to swoop in and get him a guy. I was talking to one of my best friends the other day, and he sat and asked me a question. And I wanted to slap him through the phone, but I couldn't because Dre Greenlaw is a free agent. Bobby Wagner is a free agent. Adam Peters was Dre Greenlaw's pick. Dre Greenlaw may be a Commander next year on a nice deal, and I guarantee you he won't get injured once. It's just the way stuff be set up. So Dre Greenlaw, 9 times out of 10, is out the door. You got to find a way to replace the linebacking core, depending on who our defensive coordinator is. That's another thing. That's the question.
Ooh, and that's where we're going to be going next. Shout out to Rob Lauder in the chat. He says, let the record state that I text KP, Kyle Posey, about a fixing the 49ers pod a couple hours ago. I'm 100% going to look like a chat breezy copycat, which isn't exactly a bad thing. Rob, you are the best. If you guys haven't yet, go check out Striking Gold Podcast.
Hey.
Kyle Posey, you know, of Niners Nation. It's just such a great tandem. By far one of my favorite Niner shows out there. And Lieutenant Simple Jack, man. And that's just what it is. I love that
Salute.
Movie. Yeah, freaking Tropic Thunder is just top.
Oh my gosh, yes.
Every time I see it, I just smile. But yeah, so what Rob doesn't know is I hacked his system, and so I see his messages, so I just steal his ideas because that's just what it is. So I take full responsibility for that. So let's go to fixing the Niners. And let's talk about this DC process. Now, Wayne, we haven't talked about this together in a while. What are your overall thoughts on how this DC process has gone so far?
It's gone exactly the way the 49ers wanted it to go, which is terrible. I've never seen an organization that just loved the drama, bro. I feel like every time I make a reference to the San Francisco 49ers being like one of the shows on soap operas, because there was a slew of them. You had your networks. You pick your poison. Which one do you want us to be? One day we're One Life to Live. One day we're Young and the Restless. One day we're Days of Our Lives. One day it doesn't matter. Whenever you turn on 49er stuff, it's going to be drama. And drama sells. I don't know what it is. We're gonna buy hella jerseys. Hella stuff, because the drama is there. And we're not even talking conscious. We can't even go out with time. Last couple few seasons, time wasn't really on our side. While we were preparing for big games in the playoffs, you know, we didn't even sniff the playoffs this year. We got time on our side, and we put all the eggs in one basket. I just did a show yesterday. We put the eggs in the basket for Robert Saleh. You can't do that. Unless you're offering him head coaching money to be a defensive coordinator, which would be dumb, Jed York. You can't put all your eggs in his basket. And I think the issue for me is there were plenty of candidates out there, and I don't care if they don't want to be here. Interview them anyway. Like, schedule an interview, and then let it be known we scheduled a former interview. They ain't show up. Cool, we don't want the motherfuckers anyway. Let us say we don't want them. But don't let us see a good candidate go to a different team, which we got to play, by the way. And it's just like crazy. It's like, yo, the Niners, man, they just can't get right.
It's playoff time, and it's now or never. Don't miss out on the last few weeks of football action with Prize Picks, the best place to win cash while you watch the playoffs. And Prize Picks is the best way to get action on sports in more than 30 states, including California, Texas, Georgia, and Florida. So sign up today with our code 49ers, 49ERS. Get $50 instantly when you play $5. You don't even need to win to receive the $50 bonus. It's guaranteed. So if you think Brock Purdy is going to throw for more than 1.5 touchdowns or Lamar Jackson 250 pass yards the following week, man, that's where it's at. And my favorite thing is it's just simple. You pick two players, more or less, and then you're golden. So download the app today and use code 49ers, 49ERS, to get $50 instantly. After you play your first $5 lineup, again, download the app today. Use code 49ers to get $50 instantly after you play your first game on Prize Picks. Run your game. It's a brand new year, and everybody has New Year's resolutions. Did you know only 8%? Of people stuck with their last year's New Year's resolution throughout the year? Well, who doesn't want to be better off financially? Well, here's the thing with Acorns. You go to there, Acorns makes it easy to start automatically saving and investing, so your money has a chance to grow for you, your kids, your retirement, whatever your financial needs are. And here's the thing, you don't have to be an expert. Acorns will recommend a diversified portfolio that fits your goals. And you don't need to be rich. You can start with $5, even just your spare change, and they can round up your transactions. That's what I do personally. I've been using this same feature for at least 4 or 5 years now on Acorns. So whether you don't have time, you don't have a lot of money, it doesn't matter. This is where Acorns comes into effect for you because they help you get there. So head to acorns.com/49ers or Download the Acorns app to start saving and investing for your future today. And I am proud to say that this episode is brought to you by Acorns. Paid client endorsement. Compensation provides incentive to positively promote Acorns. Tier 1 compensation provided. Investment involves risk. Acorns Advisors LLC, an SEC registered investment advisor. View important disclosures at acorn.com/49ers.
At Verizon, anyone can trade in their old phone for a new one on us with Unlimited Ultimate, which means everyone in your family could get a new phone and stay on your family plan, keeping you close.
Hey, Mom, you seen my toothbrush?
Yeah, I'm almost done with it.
Oh, maybe too close. Trade-in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
That's rough. And right here, Niner Faithful, appreciate the comment. Who says it's really terrible, though? You don't think Kyle and John have a plan, but not letting the media know? Well, so the problem with that is you have to announce publicly, you have to disclose publicly within 24 hours when you interview a candidate for a coordinator position. That has to be disclosed publicly. And the Niners, so like, I do think the Niners have a plan. The plan is Robert Saleh or it's Brandon Staley. And they're not even listening to anybody else. They're not even interviewing anybody else. Didn't even interview Ulbrich, who they wanted last year, but now they don't. They didn't interview Lou Anarumo. Didn't interview Dennis Erickson. Didn't interview Eberflus. Didn't interview. Did just have 100% just, we don't care what else is out there, whether they like it or don't. Obviously they don't. They, I think the 49ers brass loves Brandon Staley. And I think that they are 100% comfortable with Brandon Staley. Now, my problem, I don't have a problem with that. I'm higher on Brandon Staley as a DC than most. My problem with that is,
I'm slightly there with you, and I'll explain, but I want to hear what the problem is first.
The problem is, why didn't you give him a chance in the season when the season was lost?
Because, and here's my issue. That's not the problem. The problem, there was not a problem with that. I did not have a problem with that. Let me explain why. I wanted this season to solely be on the mother freaking defensive coordinator that Kyle Shanahan handpicked. He didn't handpick Steve Wilks. They got Steve Wilks. It was late. They needed guy. Guy come in. He's a veteran. He should be able to run the defense. Cool. He came in here and ran the defense best way he knew how, and unfortunately wasn't a good fit. Okay, cool. They ran him out. They ran Steve Wilks out. Two, handpick Nick Sorensen, the guy that's been here for decades. You got to give Kyle Shanahan some credit if it is going to be Brandon Staley, because he brought him in here and he said, sit your ass down and learn how we do things here. And that's what Brandon Staley did. He didn't have a role. He was an assistant coach. He probably got coffee and tofu and all that bullshit they eat. Like, whatever it is. Yeah, that's what he was doing. That's what he was doing. They said that he kind of oversaw the defense. Where's my sounds? Where's my sounds? I don't want to say any bad words. He didn't oversee anything. He was just here learning the 49er way to get the 49er culture, to interact with these players, to kind of understand. They all knew there was going to be a shifting. Now, I'm saying I don't want it to be Brandon Staley because there were better options, in my opinion. You got to go back to 2020. When his defense was number one. That guy retired, by the way. I don't know if people remember. Oh, yeah, the Rams had the number one defense. Oh, yeah, the number one player in the league for the past 15 years has called it quits. You know who I'm talking about.
Aaron Donald.
Yeah, he don't play anymore. So we don't have anybody to that caliber. No one on our defense to that caliber. Now, if it is Brandon Staley, now we can start looking at the draft. And that's going to start swooning my pick to these defensive tackles early.
It's going to matter big time. Because if we do get, you know, Robert Saleh, it's the same thing that we've been used to, all
correct,
that stuff. Staley's going to adjust some. But he's been with us for a year, and I think the whole plan was, look, learn for a year. We want you to use our system, whatever else. But I'm with James right here. Staley was an elite DC. Why are no other teams calling to interview him? That's, again, major issue. Red flag.
Because he's been hidden, which no one in this league can hide motherfuckers like Kyle Shanahan. Look, I know. I get on Kyle Shanahan, But I know it sounds like I'm a Kyle Shanahan advocate, but he knows how to hide people. He knows how to hide players. He knows how to make sure players get injured at a certain time so that way they money don't money up when it's time to money up and can't nobody else go after them and they become a restricted free agent so they own it. Yo, Kyle is a – yo, I don't think we understand – he's not just a genius play caller. Like, I think he's a genius at understanding how this business advocates and it works. And he's doing that with some of his coaches. Every time Kyle gets a coach, what happens?
Yeah.
They get exited out, right? They get hired. So Kyle's like, nah, I'm not going to let him do anything this year.
Just redshirt him, like a rookie.
Boom. There you go, bro. Perfect term. Perfect term.
You got to come here and you got to sit. And we're not going to let you have your 3 weeks. We're going to. And so, like, I do believe, like, let me say this. And this is one of my things on Brandon Staley. Okay. Whenever he was with the Rams, yes, it was in number one defense. He gets the job. He was the wunderkind and all that kind of stuff, whatever else with the Chargers. He didn't run the defense. He didn't run the defense.
Correct.
He was the CEO. Now it all falls back onto him, and I think that's key. But he was not the DC. He did not call the defense. He did not – obviously, he played a part in it. But that kind of matters. Now, I mean, you had a lot of pieces whenever you were with the Chargers. You know, Bosa, Khalil Mack, Derwin James. Like, you had some dudes.
But they weren't all together at the same time. Let's be fair, because Mack probably was the only – non-injured player during that tenure.
Well, let me tell you about the Niners defense, because okay, that's going to continue. Like, do we think we're all of a sudden going to get healthy and stay healthy here?
I don't know. He might know some guys that know a guy. Look, I'm just being funny with the stuff. You know what I'm saying? Don't mind my facetious jokes. No, Kyle doesn't get players injured. What I said was he knows how to say, hey, you're going to get injured. We're going to put you on the IR. We're going to stash you. You know what I mean? That's what I mean. But it's all been fun. But at the end of the day, like, I think with Brandon Staley, and I'm not advocating for him, but if it's all in, if it's Staley or Saleh, I'm sorry. It's not looking like Saleh. If he's getting a second interview with the Jags, I know they're second interviewing other guys too, but those other guys don't seem that – I just feel like it's slightly going towards Robert Saleh being the head coach in Jacksonville. So, look, we're going to have to accept it at some point, right? We could be mad. We can come on here. We can get out our frustration. We could be everything, but we really won't know what it's going to look like until we see it.
You know, I think I had it at 40%. Robert Saleh would be the defensive coordinator here. Mm-hmm. I'm backing that down. I think that's down to about 30% now, because he's one of three guys to get that second in-person interview with the Jags. And so, like, that's kind of why I'm backing up. Now, I did think that this was awesome, Dave. And I kind of do agree with this one here. He says, why is it a bad thing to pay Saleh like a head coach? It's coming out of Jed York's pocket anyway. Not my money. Does it affect the cap? Yeah, I like that from just – I like that Jed's willing to spend on a court. This is 100% just out of the York's pocket, which they have a lot of my money in there. So, like, yeah, please use that. I bought a lot of beers at Levi's Stadium, so I feel like
I'm not saying that it's a bad thing, but as a businessman, like, you're not going to overpay a position. You're just not going to do it. It doesn't make any sense. I'm not going to overpay you if, like, and you don't hold that a higher weight or higher title. That's what I mean. Like, now, granted, he's willing to make Robert Saleh the highest paid defensive coordinator in the league, which is $4.5 million, which goes to former 49ers defensive coordinator Vic Fangio, who's now the defensive coordinator of the team that's in the playoffs right now, who we should have just interviewed in the first damn place, because last time I checked, wasn't Brandon Staley under that? Anyway, my point is, like, it's not a bad thing because it doesn't cost the Niners the money, but at the end of the day, I just don't see why I would pay a coordinator head coach money. I don't think my brain would allow me to do that. That's my brain, though, not Jay York's brain.
Yeah, I like this from Joe. Eddie D would pay. 100% he would. First class all the way. And, you know, the rumor out there from Barrows was highest paid defensive coordinator, right? And so, like, what that is, because, again, owners don't have to disclose what coordinators and coaches make. That doesn't have to be disclosed. Only the Packers have to do that because they're a public traded league company. So, like, that now the rumors get out there and this coach makes this much. That stuff gets leaked. But, man, right now I'm just really, really hoping we get Saleh. I'd be okay with Staley. I just wish we exhausted all options. That's all. That's where I'm different from most. I just wish we tried.
That's what I'm saying.
If you interview them and you don't like them, that's one thing. And, you know, we're not a part of those interviews and whatever else. It's just try.
That's all I'm at. That's all I was saying. That's all I was saying. Like, why not? Like, there's guys that are willing. Like, there's guys that are willing to be defensive coordinators. There's guys that's willing to lead their teams as a defensive coordinator to go to a different team to be a defensive coordinator. Now, I don't know if it comes down to fit or things like that. I don't know if that, you know, the 49ers. Maybe Kyle Shanahan is just oversensitive about who comes in here and is in charge of his guys.
Yeah. I know. Who else did he babysit kids for? That's what we need to be looking into. It's Team Nepo for the win, baby. And I love Kyle, but that doesn't mean there aren't some critiques that are there. Now, one thing you cannot critique, and Paul Hope, he knows this, residency fire the hat. You see the John and Wayne hats. And if you can't see us and you're listening to this podcast, go to residency.com. Use code SF Breezy. I don't know if it's all caps. I don't think it's all. I've used it.
It doesn't have to be. I just like it when it's on all caps. It feels like I'm yelling at you. Yeah,
it's cool. So go over there, support the man, Wayne Breezy. Save you some money on a hat. Look great. And when you wear these hats in public, everybody goes, "Ooh, where'd you get that?" Which is always fun. And I feel like I'm a little bit of an ambassador. I think I have 12. I think I have 12.
Oh, I got about 8. Team. I think we got 3 drawers full back there.
And, you know, I subscribe to their newsletter, and every time they send me one, I click on it every time.
Yeah, it's like, I'm like, damn it, stop creating, you know?
Yeah, they're good at what they do, man. Residency.com, SF Breezy. Use the promo code support, support, support. Now, here we go. It's draft talk time, and we have the resident Michigan guy in here. And I know we have been burnt. Ooh.
I can't wait till we do our official mock drafts. Like, that's going to be crazy.
Oh, it's coming. It's coming. We're going to argue, and I love those because we love our guys so much. Both of us do. And Michigan and Texas are going to have a lot of guys in this draft. So we've been burned by Michigan in the past, but I tell people this all the time. Don't scout the uniform. Don't scout the uniform. Scout the player. Scout the player. Don't scout the helmet. Scout the player. And so there's a handful of guys that I think will be available. The 49ers are picking 11. Mm-hmm. So, my number one question, this is me being selfish, Wayne. Mason Graham is, I consider, a top 5 player in this draft. Mason Graham is at probably the weakest position of the 49ers. That is a premium position. Centers are weakest, but you're not drafted first round center. If Mason Graham fell to number 8, in your opinion, is he worth trading up for a couple spots? Is he worth that 8? 9, 10, 11 draft spot on the 49ers, in your opinion?
That's a good question. And listen, don't let my bias kind of like set in. I just want people to know, for me, knowing Mason Graham for the past 3 years, like what you're going to get. And the number one thing that we talk about on this defense is get off. The second thing is motor. And the fact that he has both at 100 is ridiculous. And so you're talking about a guy that could command and take on double teams. Well, that means that if he's commanding the double teams, then they can't double everybody on the defensive front. And then you want a guy that is just furious in stopping the run. And I think that's just what his specialty is. Can he rush the passer? For sure. You leave him one-on-one, he's going to beat you. But 9 times out of 10, you're not. You're clamping down on this guy. You're making sure. And the good thing about him is, it's not about him beating the double teams. It's about him really soaking up these blocks. So now your linebackers are free. I don't think we've seen the best of D. Winters. We want Fred Warner to play like a little bit more downhill and better. We haven't seen the best of these guys because our defensive front is always getting pushed to the back level of the middle of the linebackers, right? And so it's causing missed tackles, things like that. So that's what Mason Graham does. I have him as a top 5 player in my top 100, and no, it's not because he went to Michigan, but simply because he's that caliber of a player. I always say if you're going to draft a player, especially early in the first round, depending on where your team is, you need that player to be able to come in day one and make an impact. And we've tried that before, and it didn't work. But this is a different caliber of player. Please do not compare Javon Kinlaw to Mason Graham ever in your entire lives. Please, no. Trust me. And I'm not saying that because he's a Michigan dude. There's a few tackles.
They're different players.
They're totally different. So people feel like, oh, I don't want to draft the defensive tackle. The Niners have tried that. Well, let me tell you what the Niners have also tried. They drafted Mike McGlinchey in the first round. How'd that work out? They drafted Aaron Banks in the second round. How'd that work out? Our best draft pick as an offensive line came in the third round last year. Year 8 of Kyle Shanahan. What are we talking about? So, like, you're going to miss and you're going to hit. He's a hit. I said to somebody on Facebook the other day, you know, did you second guess or second question yourself about a guy like Nick Bosa? No. You drafted
a lot of people
him.
Did. You remember people
they
wanted
Quinnen Williams.
Quinnen Williams. I was like, yeah. Like Quinnen Williams, awesome. But
my point is, don't do that with Mason Graham. If you let him go by you and he's available, you're just setting yourself up for not non-success, in my opinion.
Yeah. And I'm with James. He says 0% Graham is there at 11. I have him in my top five. Wayne has him in the top five. I think a lot of people will.
So I have him in top five. Okay. And, John, don't be mad, but if he's there, I'm trading up.
I think so. I think I would trade up if he hits 7 or 8.
I can't because the Jacksonville Jaguars are at 5. So let's have the conversation, general manager.
Yeah.
You're Trent Baalke and you hate the 49ers guts.
Yeah.
And he'll be gone. So you have to trade up to the 4 with the New England Patriots.
That's too much. I wouldn't trade up that high for him.
He's a top 5 player. You can't say he's a top 5 player.
And Patriots might take him too because they have their quarterback. So they might just go best player available.
I feel like the Patriots are going to go offensive line. And that's the key. Like do they jump up and get the offensive lineman you want? And so, like, that's the game that you play. Because since they got their quarterback, they also need to protect him. And that's what messes the game up.
Yeah. You've got to have some luck. Because if he clears, and I'm not saying he will. If he clears the – okay, so you got the Patriots at 4, Jaguars at 5. Both have quarterbacks, all right? They've got their quarterbacks.
Correct.
But if he clears that, then you've got Vegas, brand-new coach, no quarterback, at 6 – you've got Jets, brand new coach, no quarterback at 7.
Mm-hmm.
8, Carolina Panthers. They have Dwayne Brown.
Thing about the Jets and the – who you said Jets and the
Raiders.
The Raiders.
They're 6-7.
Yeah. You know what they're going to do? Sam Darnold is going to be on one of these teams, and there's a couple of free agent quarterbacks. So they'll be able to draft their guy round 3, round 4, as far as quarterback. Because there's no – I got 2 quarterbacks in the first round, maybe 3. I think Jackson Dart might
move
up.
I think they're going to get pushed up.
I think Jackson Dart, Jalen Milroe, those guys will get pushed up a little bit, but I don't think teams are going to reach for him. I just don't.
Yeah, I think he goes early as well. But I'm not – I would be willing to trade up to 7. Probably not going to trade up much higher than that.
And I understand that, and I think logically – I mean, look, you said it's going to cost too much, and it is. To move up to 4 is going to cost you, what, 2 firsts? It's going to cost you a lot, right? So I understand that. Is he worth 2 firsts? I mean, it depends. Like, how they value. The 49ers front office, especially John Lynch, always wants to build in the trenches. Like, that is the number one thing that he's been trying to do since he's been here. And he got it right once. And that was with Nick Bosa. I don't care about this kid's arm length or his measurables. This kid is dominant on the football field, and he doesn't take plays off.
Now, and, you know, stick with the Mason Graham conversation. This is before the combine, and there are some people that think he is going to have short arms. If he has short arms, 32-inch arms, he's not going Trent Baalke at Jacksonville. He will only draft long-arm players.
Long-arm guys, yeah.
So that could be an issue. Now, again, the thing that stands out to me most about Mason Graham is his run defense. He has the highest run defensive grade of any draft-eligible player, defensive tackle or defensive end. And it's not like you're missing out with pass rush pressure. He's a complete player. 5 sacks this year, 4 sacks last year from an interior guy that was involved in a heavy rotation. Michigan had a lot of players. So I think that there are stuff there that make him so attractive. Now, Great One says, there are many good defensive tackles in this draft. No need to trade up and lose more picks.
And he's right. There are many good ones, but there's only one transcending one.
Yeah.
There were many good edge rushers in the draft. We drafted Nick Bosa, but we didn't second guess that.
Ryan Burns, Sweat.
Yeah, I mean, come on, man.
Great.
Come on. Higher production than Nick Bosa, in my opinion, from some of those guys you're talking about. But Nick Bosa was the transcending player. And I feel like when you get a guy like Mason Graham, you know, you can look this. He's not a quarterback. So you can look at his short arms all you want, T-Rex arms all you want. Like, the dude is productive. Like that's the issue. Like, that to me, watch the film. Zero issues.
I like that. So, okay, what would you say about Invader saying, I like Kenneth Grant, the other defensive tackle for Michigan that I want to get your opinion on, over Mason Grant?
I think he'll be more of a 3-4 guy, right? Like, he's a bigger guy, bigger body, going to take more plays off, going to get tired quicker. Is that what you want?
6'3", 340.
Love Kenneth Grant. Big guy, though. He's last year's
draft those guys.
Nah, he's last year's T'Vondre Sweat. I did a show live, and I could not think of his name. He might not be as fierce as T'Vondre Sweat, though, but like he's the run stuffer. Like, he's a big guy, you know, sliding them guys onto the other side. Mason Grant clean up, make those tackles. Like, they work really well together in a 4-3 defense, but I feel like he'll be a good 3-4 nose tackle type of a dude, in my opinion.
30% of Kenneth Grant's snaps came from nose tackle. And my biggest issue with him is, on my experience, he's only got 1,000 snaps in his career.
Yeah,
that's like a four out of 10 in this class.
But he was dominant. Like, you
dominant.
Know, you know, he was dominant. Like, you know what I mean? And so that's why I said those two guys together, man, good golly, oh, Molly. Like, they were dominant. But let's not F up this draft. A lot of y'all don't listen to the things that I say. And last year I said draft Braden Fisk. Dude is the best, had the most sacks.
And pass rusher only. That's what he was going to be. Like, Niners seem to always have this idea, you have to stop the run. That's why they got rid of Buckner. And that's what they said. We're looking at guys that are stout against it. Braden Fisk is terrible against the run. He's terrible. He gets washed out all the time. But you have a plan for him, and you use him to what he's good for. Niners don't do that.
Good point.
Not defensively. They have not.
They don't do that offensively either. But good point.
Yeah. It's an issue. It's an issue. But I do like Kenneth Grant. I'm kind of on this Walter Nolan.
So Walter Nolan is my number two. So I you shouldn't be kind of on him. He should be number two defensive tackle in this draft from Ole Miss. You want a high productive guy. I mean, that's the man. Like, right? Best of both worlds, too. And it's not a big drop from Mason Graham to him. But Mason Graham, to me, did it on a bigger scale. Like you know what I mean? Like, the level, like, Mason Graham was a force in the Texas game, believe it or not. He's one of the reasons why they beat Ohio State. Like, these are some of the big teams coming out of college that he had to face. No shot at Ole Miss and the teams they play, whatever. That's not what I'm saying. But I love Walter Nolan. He's my number two defensive tackle. You know what I mean?
And a lot of people keep saying, oh, we'll get Nolan in the second. And I'm like, no,
nah, man. I mean, he might slide to the second, but he's getting picked before 43, wherever we pick in the second.
Second best run defensive grade for any D lineman. Mason Graham 1, Walter Nolan 2. And so whenever you get these guys that are that good against the run and have the pass rush upside, that's where it gets a little bit dangerous from that defensive tackle spot. And I think that's why, if I had to guess, I'd say it goes Mason Graham, Walter Nolan, Kenneth Grant. Like, that would be the 1, 2, 3. But again, those 3-4 teams are going to like Kenneth Grant a lot more than other teams that are out
there.
He
might slide down a little bit in the draft, depending on those 3-4 teams that you're talking about. Like, you know, he might slide, and so you might see guys like Tyleek Williams from Ohio State go. You might see some of these other, you know, maybe Derek Harmon from Oregon. He may go little higher. Love him too, you know. Kenneth Grant is going to go to a 3-4 team, like,
yeah,
hands down.
Now, my favorite thing to do is when the draft props come out and betting the draft props. But if you're betting any of the championship games, Super Bowl, you know where you got to go. It's win or go home for the NFL playoffs, and all roads lead to New Orleans. But here's the thing. Your chance to get in on every high-stakes moment along the way starts with MyBookie. MyBookie is the ultimate destination for bettors who want more. Whether you're backing the underdogs, riding with the favorites, every drive, every touchdown, every moment is an opportunity to win big. And you can kick off 2025 right. They have risk-free Thursdays. That's where you place a bet. And if it doesn't hit, MyBookie has your back.
Dive into the Bet Boost tab to supercharge your picks and build that bankroll before the Super Bowl. And even when the games are over, the action doesn't stop with MyBookie's online casino. Blackjack, Baccarat, Roulette, Slots, it's all there, whether you're celebrating a big win or you're gearing up for the next round. And if you haven't joined yet, use promo code 49ERS49ERS on your first deposit. MyBookie will hook you up with an instant bonus because you deserve to start strong. Season isn't just about watching history unfold. It's about being part of it. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere, and I mean anywhere, with MyBookie. All right, I got two more Michigan guys that I've just been waiting to talk to you about. I think one of the key needs for the 49ers is a true free safety. And I think that safety Rod Moore kind of could be that. He's got a ridiculous amount of snaps just from that free safety spot. Now, he's a little bit smaller than what the Niners usually go, but 850 snaps from a free safety spot, over 50% of his snaps from that kind of single high look. Do you think that he translates later round guy for sure? But what are your thoughts on the safety, Rod Moore out of Michigan?
Yeah, I think what hurt him the most is he didn't play much last year. Like, you know what I mean? So, due to injury. So I think he falls, but his ability to, you know, he has the speed and he has the ability to go sideline to sideline. I mean, it's like if you play in cover one, cover three, whatever you need him, like he's that guy. And I think the Niners need a ball hawk. They have the in-box safeties. They have the thumpers. They have them. Like, they do. Size might be an issue, but it's going to come down to how well this kid tests, and I think that will help shoot his stock up, depending on, you know, because my number one safety is Xavier Watts from Notre Dame. So, like, if you're going to get a safety, get me a guy that I know, if the ball's thrown into any area, he should have had that pick last night. But that what had awesome happened play. Was, that's a big-ass dude, Travion Henderson, trying to rip the ball. Like, when you see the difference between a running back.
They dapped each other up after the play. It was like, mutual respect, sir.
Yo, hell yeah. Because I thought he had to pick. Travion was like, nah, son, this junk ain't, you ain't, if I ain't catching it, you not catching it. But I love that. But that's what he is. He's a ball hawk, you know. They use him around the box. Great tackler. But when I look at Rod Moore, I feel like you get that vibe. Unfortunately, the injury kind of derailed him on the Michigan defense last season. So I think he can be a good prospect. You know, if the Niners got to find a ball hawk. They have to get out of the tweener safeties. Give me the – I want safety. I want – no, get a free safety. You have plenty of strong safeties. Those guys can't convert to free safety. They're not fast enough.
Yeah. I think there's a lot of free safety options in this draft, just breaking down like kind of all the snaps where they align, where they played. And so, like, you know, Xavier Watts, I think that's probably going to be a second round pick. He's got 900 free safety snaps in his career. He's played there a lot. Yeah, that dude's incredible. But if you don't get the safety that high, if you don't want to spend that resources, then I think Rod Moore is a guy that you can get fifth round. And yeah, there is an injury there, and I know Niners don't put a premium on injured players, but they do draft them late. Look at Isaac Grindo, probably had the most injured running back of any player drafted, and we traded up to go get him.
Good
and
point. So fourth round pick. Yep.
Yeah. So second round, Xavier Watts. I love that dude. But if you don't want to spend that second or third on it, I don't think he'll be there in the third. But you wait till later. I think you can get somebody like a Rod Moore, a Jalen Reed out of Penn State. He hasn't played that much either. But there are some of those guys that are available there. Real quick, last Michigan player. Let's do this. Linebacker. Are the Niners going to pay Dre Greenlaw? That is a huge question. We're going to talk about that in a second. But could Jayshon Barham, is he a fit there?
Yeah, man, fifth round pick kind of guy. Sounds like Dre Greenlaw to me. Just for the status, but like, no, you want a guy that can cover and play the run, right? And that's him. And so you don't have to spin or overspin on linebacker with your picks. If you got, there's a couple of guys I feel like they might be able to get, you know, a little bit later on in this draft, fourth, fifth round, however they choose to want to go. But they got to get a linebacker that can give them the range and have the – what's the word? The aggressiveness and the attitude to play linebacker, you know? That's what they need. That, so Dre Greenlaw is great, right, at his position. He has his little flaws or whatever, but I think the thing that sets him or separates him from a lot of these other linebackers is his aggressiveness. And, you know, I feel like they don't make guys like that. And so when you find those guys, those over-aggressive dudes, those dudes that just ball out, then he doesn't have the injury history as Dre Greenlaw does. So this will help the Niners. You know, you gotta take your shot. I need the Niners drafting different mindset type of players. That's where I am with this. Like,
yeah, I go to you remember Charlie Murphy, True Hollywood Stories, whenever he's doing the Rick James bit. He's like, but see, that's who Rick was. He stepped across the line. He was a habitual line stepper. Like, that's what I want in my life, right? Anyway, Chappelle's been on my mind since he was on SNL.
Charlie Murphy.
Yeah, I love it. You even got a haters ball in there. Oh, man, that made me so happy. All right, so now let's transition to free agency. The Niners got a lot of free agents. Every team in the NFL does. Who are your top three free agents that the Niners, just the Niners guys, that you want to keep in order? So, like, one matters more than two, matters more than three. Who are your top three free agent 49ers that you want back and you really hope the team re-signs?
Well, I think the first guy that they try to sign is they try to get Ben Bartsch back on this roster, right? Showed up, offensive lineman, can play guard, took snaps at center, play center. Unfortunately, he finished the season on the IR. I would definitely like to get him back in the building. I think he will be this year's Feliciano, right? But I feel like if he can come in, he may end up winning the spot. Like, the left guard spot may just be his, in my opinion. At least, you know, you start your season off right, and you still draft a guy, right? You still draft a guy.
Because we got guards. I mean, so
we got Zakel. Pooney, you got Pooney.
And then Burford.
And then Burford. Well, yeah. Which, yeah. Burford's in between. Burford's line. He played guard last year. Played tackle his first year. So, yeah, you got the guys, but I really think you bring him back because he was the best guard. So, you want to bring him
cheap.
Back. Yeah, best
option. You might not even get $2 million a year. Like, he's that cheap.
That's why I said you bring him back. That's part of the reason why you bring him back. I mean, I want Greenlaw back here. You know, like, I think you find a way to bring Greenlaw back. But I just think it's going to cost too much. But if you can get Greenlaw back here for another – couple of shots at this Super Bowl run. I mean, he deserves it here, so I want him here.
My question about Greenlaw.
Go ahead.
Okay, his contract was a 2-year,
yes,
$8 million per year.
Correct.
Would you give him another 2-year, $8 million? Would you do that?
I would think that's where you start, right? Like, I think that's where you start.
Maybe a 1-year prove it deal. And 1 year, $10 million.
Boy, come on, bro. Come on, bro. Make that Jack incentive base, man. Hey, man, you last 17,000 games, you will get paid. Like, you know? Like, you got to find – they got to find a way. I'm sure he's going to get better offers than what the Niners are going to offer, but they got to take their best shot, right? Sure. Don't lowball him to make him, like, just turn it – you know. But plus, he's never tested free agency. So this will be the first time he'll be a free agent in his life.
When they announced that extension. I was the happiest man.
Oh, bro.
That and the demo. I was just
I get it. I get it 1,000%. And I'm trying to think of a third player. Maybe you can get Hufanga back cheap. But the question, if you get Hufanga back, I mean, where's he going to play? Like, he's not good at free safety.
Yeah, that's where Sorensen kept putting them over and over again. It was just what the hell are you doing?
You got the same three players playing the same position.
Yeah.
I think I love Malik Mustafa, but why'd you draft him if you had Jair Brown? I know Jair Brown had a bad year last year, but he had a bad year because he's not playing in the right spots. And then when they put him in that spot, he just think he's playing in the other spot. It's weird. So weird.
Yeah,
maybe somebody gets
one.
Cut. They all take bad angles. Hold up. Every safety on this roster takes bad angles, and they don't have the recovery speed to recover from the bad angle.
Yeah, it's bad. It's bad. I mean, Hufanga is just not a free safety at all.
No.
The other guys might be.
They can try, right?
Like, but none of them are.
No, right.
Yet all we do is cover three and cover one man. Nick Sorensen, you are a genius. I don't know how that dude still got a job. No matter how bad you think you are at your job, just know Nick Sorensen got fired and was still employed. And is still employed.
Because he never got fired. He got demoted. There's a big difference.
Dude, I don't know, man. Somebody needs to work in the equipment room, I guess. But it's what it is. It's what it is. All right, here we go. Your guy, your birthday. Same birthday as Debo, which I always think is cool.
That is cool.
Debo, back this year, traded, cut, extended, every option's on the table.
Why do I feel like he's going to get extended?
I would be shocked, man. I know everybody wants him gone. And
I know. I get it. I get it. And you can't ask me this question because everybody knows I advocate for Debo Samuel. But here's the thing that I learned about. Like, Kyle loves Debo. I don't think y'all understand the love that they – I don't know what Debo has on Coach Shanahan, but whatever it is, it ain't going to get him cut. It probably going to get him extended. Now, look, I would like Debo back, especially if he goes back to the role that he is great and dominant at. You know what I mean? And I think that's what you need from Debo. So I wouldn't be surprised if they extend him, lower the cap, stretch out the money a couple more years – and he get the best of his years with the San Francisco 49ers. I mean, Debo deserves a Super Bowl. Dude got there twice.
The chat's always just so great.
I know. They hate Debo, and I get it.
But, like, every time they ask Kyle about Debo, he always says the same thing. I talk to Debo every day.
They can't be more than bro. They're more than bros. They're like blood brothers, like, literally.
Shanahan loyalty program.
I don't think people understand how the Brohan brotherhood starts. Now, this was when Kyle Shanahan used to coach the Senior Bowl.
Mm-hmm. You remember he had that picture where he was looking at him side-eyed?
Listen, bro. Now, look, all I'm saying is they've been connected since. First of all, Debo, he had a good Senior Bowl. I'm not going to front. Like, but he didn't even play much in the game because he had good practices. Let me put that out there. His practices were good. And that's what the coaches – that's why I go. To watch the practices, to watch the sessions, to watch the 11-on-11s, the one-on-ones, obviously you want to see them in one-on-ones, 7-on-7s, like that's why I go. And so I'll be there this year, and I can't wait to see. Unfortunately, Kyle's not there, but that's where he makes his connection. They connected there, and I don't think they can disjoint themselves if they try.
Yeah, I don't think so either. And I think Debo would like to be out of California. Like, he doesn't like coming out here to train in the offseason. He doesn't like that stuff. But who's going to use Debo better than Kyle Shanahan? Like, there's nobody else that would.
I think nobody. All right, Keith. I think with the roster going back to its normalcy next season, minus Brandon Ayuk, obviously, I think we get the Debo that everybody fell in love with. I'll leave it at that. I hope we do.
Yeah. And, you know, it's funny because people talk about, like, the speed and stuff. You look at those kickoff returns, the speed's still there. Yeah. I don't think that's
the utilization of Debo, right? It's the way he's being utilized. And it's a little different. Everybody wants Debo to be the number one receiver. He was never that. He was the number one weapon. Then they got Christian McCaffrey. It's a big difference. Weapon, receiver, two different words, two different meanings. I need people to understand that. It's just a little too different. And so when Christian McCaffrey came, his weaponry kind of got diminished a little bit. Like, you know what I'm saying? How they used him. And so they were trying to still use him in the backfield, blah, 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 blah. We all know nobody wants to see that anymore. I get it. But I think when Christian McCaffrey's back on the field, having that and with that 11 personnel, like, that's going to be crazy. You're talking three wide receiver sets with Christian McCaffrey and George Kittle? Give it to me, baby. You talk about Rick James? Give it to me, baby.
Give it to me, baby. All right. We got to end it on that. That's just too good. But, Wayne, it's been too long, but this is wonderful. It was like a breath of fresh air. Hopefully everybody else enjoyed it as well. We'll be back next Tuesday. Wayne will be hosting, but hopefully it'll be on both channels. We'll talk about that.
Yeah, we got to figure out that time because I'll be at the Senior Bowl.
Oh, yeah.
Time, right? So yeah, it'll be later that night if we can do that.
We'll figure it out. But, dude, I'm so excited for you. It's such an awesome opportunity. It's incredible what you do, man. And I just want all the notes. So the next show we have, I just want Wayne to read us Senior Bowl notes and just freaking –
And give me some, like, if you guys, man, feel free to message me if you, there's certain players you want me to keep an eye out for. I got my guys, but if there's certain players, you know, because the Senior Bowl is going to be loaded. And you know what sucks? It's the same time as the East-West Shrine Bowl. And so it's like, damn it, I wish I had four eyes and two me's so I could be at both places at the same time.
I wish I had two more hands. And I will say this. The 49ers value the Senior Bowl more than any team in the NFL.
Any team.
Not even close.
In the NFL. And there's two 49er coaches that will be representing them there at the Senior Bowl. Coaching opposite sides. So that's going to be pretty cool, right? But trying to tell you that this is where the 49ers get their guys. This and those championship games. I hope you guys watched that game last night.
They like those players.
Say shout his out name to one more time. JT.
Oh, I've got it right here. 2E Mololo Moloau. There we go. 2E
he just may be a 49er.
We're getting there. 2E Moloau. I've got the pronunciation. My team worked hard on it. I love it. Shout out to Thomas. Anytime you go to 49ers Nostalgia, I am in it. He says, Breezy's headphone cord looks like it's part of his glasses. Shout out George Seifert style.
George Seifert?
Yes, with the freaking Apex pullover. You know what I'm talking
Yo,
about?
Yo, Apex, I know y'all might be dead, but I need y'all to bring the brand back. I need Apex back and Logo Athletics back. They have some of the coolest gear. You know, and Starter, I know you trying, but Starter, listen, if you're watching, Starter, we need a sponsor. Sponsor the show, right? Now, Starter, if you're watching, can we get the black parkas? You got all the other ones. Can we get the all black zip up parkas?
Were those, I think those were under Reebok, weren't they?
No, or they were Starter, bro. They were Starter. Trust me, I got one. It's just old and I can't figure out how to fix it. If I knew a seamstress or whatever, I would have them try to fix it and replenish it for me. But I don't know those type of people. I need Starter to find their manufacturers and bring those back. Please.
I want George Seifert in charge of my entire wardrobe. That's what I want.
Okay, like, that's different.
Just all 90s, man. All 90s.
90s work. 90s work. Colors
I ain't
were
wearing
cool.
those glasses, but everything else. I did like the drip.
Drip was there. And he had the hair was perfect. Like, you know, the gray hair was perfectly perfect. And he had the pointy nose. Yeah, come on, man. George Seifert, I don't know why he doesn't get more respect. I don't care if he's in here.
Hall of Fame. He has more wins than Walsh. Now, I'm not saying he's better than Walsh. I'm saying that dude, DC. We never won until he was the DC. And he was able to continue that, got the extra Super Bowl. He was a part of all of our Super Bowls. Seifert needs more, man. Anyway, we're going to go another 30 minutes if I don't stop this now. Wade, take us out of the show, man.
Amen. Faithful, we are back. The John and Wayne Show is here live and here to stay. It's good to be back with you guys for sure. It's Faithful time. It's off-season time. Get your popcorn ready, baby. The drama is here. I'm ready for it, too, man. We got contracts. We can't even find coaches. Let's get it. John and Wayne Show, 49ers Rush.
At Verizon, anyone can trade in their old phone for a new one on us with Unlimited Ultimate, which means everyone in your family could get a new phone and stay on your family plan, keeping you close.
Hey, Mom, you seen my toothbrush?
Yeah, I'm almost done with it.
Oh, maybe too close. Trade in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.